Danny Ainge talks about any trade deadline regrets he might have had, Jason Tatum's extension, and Kemba Walker's knee, plus a lot more. You're going to hear directly from Danny Ainge right now on this Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're new, it's a Monday through Friday podcast. I'm the host, and I hope you like it enough to subscribe. You can get it wherever podcasts exist. You can follow on Spotify. However you want to listen, you can find the show. Regular listeners, welcome back. Love you. Thank you for coming back and making this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Really do appreciate that. Today, Danny Ainge spoke to the media with his year-end news conference. Like I said before, no exit interviews from the players. They're all going home and getting back with their families. So it's just Danny Ainge wrapping up the season. So what I'm going to do in segments one and two, you're going to hear the entire thing from Danny Ainge. All of the questions, all of the answers. The only edits are for time as far as editing out maybe some names of people that were called on and space, like dead air. None of the actual questions were edited out. None of the answers were edited down. You're going to get the entire Danny Ainge news conference. And then in the third segment, my reaction to some of the things that he said. And so without further ado, here is Danny Ainge.
If you had known that an opportunity like this presented itself in the Eastern Conference Finals, would you have done anything differently back around the trade deadline or the buyout deadline?
Take my mask off. I think that we tried. Yeah, we tried to do some things at trade deadline. We tried very hard. So I don't think I would do anything different. No. I mean, I think it's a fair assessment of our team that we weren't as strong as we needed to be. I think that we had plenty of depth to get through an Eastern Conference Finals, assuming that we don't have, you know, Gordon and Kemba banged up and Romeo Langford out. But I don't think we would have done anything different. But I think it's a misconception that we didn't make a strong effort to try to improve our team. And two things, in hindsight, it's a little bit different too. I think that, you know, had you known that you were going to have a training camp in between the trade deadline and before the season, that's probably a better question. If you knew you could bring someone in and have an entire training camp with them before they started the playoffs, but I still think the answer would be the same, that, you know, there was a few guys that we were chasing, a few guys that we were trying to add to our roster that we thought could really help us. And we weren't able to get those deals done.
I'm asking about Kemba. He, after the game, he said he didn't want to make excuses about his knee. You just mentioned that he was banged up. I mean, what percentage was he playing? And what's his off season like? Is there going to be any sort of surgery or anything like that to get him back to 100%?
So first of all, I don't know the off season answers yet. We are in the process. Probably over the next week to 2 weeks, we will have a full plan for Kemba in the off season. Regardless of what the medical tests come back and everything else, but there's no surgery needed that I'm aware of at this time. But you know, I wasn't there. I was watching from here. But I could see, even when he was here before the bubble started, which is why he was shut down a little bit and was doing strength training and trying to prepare himself for the playoff run and the intensity of the playoff run. But he was definitely not himself. in fairness to Kemba, he doesn't want to say that. He doesn't say that to our coaches. He doesn't say that to you, the media. He doesn't say that to me. I haven't heard one excuse from him, but watching the games, even games we won, even games where he, you know, played well, I could tell he wasn't the same physically as he was in October, November, December. So we're going to try to get that Kemba back. And I know Kemba wants to be back 100% and playing his best basketball. I mean, even not his best, he still averaged 19 or 20 points a game in the playoffs. He's still a really good player, but I think that he's not what he was. And there's nothing more frustrating for an athlete to be on the biggest stage in the world and in your sport and not be able to be yourself. And I've been there before as a player. It's not fun. It's stressful. And, you know, Gordon and Kemba, we're trying to do that. I know everybody has, you know, are banged up a little bit this time of year, but I'm just saying those guys were limited on what they could do from what we were used to seeing in them.
When you look at this offseason and look at the roster you guys have now, what's the focus of getting better? What areas do you feel like you guys need to improve as you look to retool things a little bit?
Well, I won't tell you specifics, Adam, but we got some work to do. No question about it. And I'm not overreacting to a tough loss to, you know, a good opponent. I'm just saying that, there's some things we tried to do, we'd like to do at the trade deadline that we weren't able to do. And I think there's some things I'd like to do now, this off season, to make our team better. But we have a lot to do.
As you look back on the season, I know it's obviously been a strange one since I think it was a year ago yesterday that you were having media day with us. But what are the biggest things you learned about your team over the course of the year in terms of, you know, as you said, you have a lot of work to do. What did you learn about it, over these past 12 months?
Well, I learned, first of all, I've been very impressed with the, you know, development of our young players and how good they're getting. I think that Jalen and Jason are very special. Marcus played a huge, huge role for us, and it's a great complimentary piece for those two guys. I learned how good Kemba and Gordon are when they're healthy, and how good our team is when our team was healthy. But I feel like there's a lot that we don't know about our team just because the opportunities haven't come for so many of our players that are on our bench. And, we saw Grant finish up pretty strong with a few short minute opportunities. Robert had a good finish to the season. Ennis gave us a big boost at many times throughout the year. And Daniel Tice had a terrific year. So I think there's a lot we learned about each of the individuals and about our team collectively. I think that we learned that we're not good enough.
Tom Westerholm.
Hey, Danny, I know the offseason just started, but I was just wondering what your end of season conversations have been like with Jason, specifically if you've had conversations about a potential extension this offseason.
I can't have those conversations yet, with Jason or Gordon or Ennis or, anybody that is like, we'll have to wait till we get, till the rules allow us to have conversations. Jason knows how much we like him. We have a good relationship. Jason likes it here. So I'm confident that, we'll be able to work something out this summer, this off season, I should say.
Brian, Rob.
Hey, Danny. I know there's, a lot of uncertainty in terms of what the cap is going to look like for next year. But you guys, with your salary commitments, depending on opt-ins, have a lot of money committed already towards the cap level. Do you anticipate having the ability to be a tax team next year operating in the tax, or is that, you have to wait to see how things shake out there?
Yeah, we're anticipating being in the tax next year. We've been prepared for that for the last couple of years as we've built this team. And so we're prepared to do that.
Hey, Danny, just curious, what stood out to you just in terms of Kemba's leadership and what you were able to see this season?
Kemba is a great person. His leadership and being accountable, just the fact that what we're talking about, he didn't make any excuses. He came to play. He He realized the moment that he was in. He's a player that has, you know, understood how special it is to be here and to have these opportunities that he's never had in his career. But he has a smile on his face. He has brings joy to the game and to the team and to the entire organization on a daily basis. And he's just great to be around. And that's why I just feel so bad. You know, it was his first time on this big of a stage and this huge of a stage. And he gave everything that he had and he played well, but we know that there's, you know, that he wasn't himself. And, but he's a terrific leader, and a terrific teammate and, an amazing person.
The second half of Danny Ainge's media availability is coming up right after the break. First, let me tell you about Built Go. It's from the same people who make Built Bar, which is the fastest growing, most delicious protein bar out there. Built Go is going to help you break through your wall. Is it one of those walls in the middle of your workday? Something where you start to fade after lunch, that mid-afternoon kind of lull? Or is it the wall before you go to work out? Whatever it is, this little 1.5 ounce package is going to get you through your wall. Put it in your briefcase, put it in your gym bag, whatever it is. It is the best workout gel on the market. It's like a 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. So I have been trying this out. I used one just before my workout on Thursday. I got to the gym, and let me tell you something. I crushed my cardio. I crushed my lifting. It really helped me get that little extra boost. It's got a little extra caffeine. It's got this collagen protein that is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. It's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to help me work out, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, that kick of caffeine that I was talking about, B6, B12 vitamins. These are going to give you that extra jolt to get through whatever wall it is that you're trying to get through. We know how it goes in the middle of the afternoon. So try this out, this Built Go. Go to builtgo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You're going to get 30% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. It's really good. I like it so far. So let's go check it out. After I get home from my workout, I am starving, but I also have work to do. So you know what I do? I open up my DoorDash app and I find one of these local restaurants with some nice healthy options. Maybe some sushi, maybe a salad, whatever it is. Or maybe it's on a cheat day and I want to get myself a nice big pizza or a calzone. It's all right there for me on DoorDash. You can support your community restaurants, the locally owned small businesses that are struggling at this time. You can support them because they probably have a delivery option and you can get that through DoorDash. Open up the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting so you can stay safe while supporting your local businesses. Do you want something from a chain restaurant? No problem. They have 300,000 partners, more than that actually, in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. You can support your local go-tos, or you can go to someplace like Chipotle, Wendy's, Cheesecake Factory. They're all on there. So open up that DoorDash app, because right now, our listeners are going to get $5 off and zero delivery fees off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. More from Danny Ainge next. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
Trying to develop a big man, a center, and trying to find one, it just seems it's difficult in the league. There's not many Adebayo types or types in this league that can just give you great production. How difficult has it been over the years just to find that guy? And then do you have to be patient with a guy like Robert? I mean, he's entering his third year. Can he be a difference maker in the paint, someone you envision that could be a starter and give you, you know, what you need in that position?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is Robert's second year, and he spent a lot of time injured, which has limited his development, unfortunately. Feel like he's getting healthy. We feel that his time in the bubble was huge. Just being around the coaches and having fewer distractions, he was really improving. I thought he played really well in a lot of the games. So yeah, we're very excited about Robert's future and what he can be. But yeah, it is hard to find franchise bigs, and there's, you know, that's always been a case, but there's a lot of big guys and a lot of big guys that can play. And like I said, you know, Daniel, Robert, and Ennis outplayed opposing big men often throughout this course of this year. I'm grateful for them. And, you know, but Adebayo was good. Adebayo might have been the biggest difference in this playoff series. He's a terrific player.
Mark Murphy.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Mark.
When you say you weren't good enough, how were you not good enough?
Well, we got beat, Mark. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, I think that if we played it again tomorrow, I think we have a chance, and we could beat them. Not that we would for sure. That would diminish what they accomplished. But I'm just saying that, you know, we feel like we can beat Miami, but we didn't. And, you know, they beat us fair and square, and they played better down the stretch of the games in that series. And I have great respect for them and all that they accomplished. I just feel like we didn't win. They were better than us right now. So we're going to try to get better.
Last couple of questions, John Corrales.
Danny, you see what Jaylen Brown was doing, not just on the court where he was really playing very efficiently, but off the court and the leadership role that he took as one of the players leading the social justice movement. What does it mean to have a player like that, especially beginning a contract extension, so you know he's going to be around for a while representing your team?
Well, I've said this a few times about Jaylen. I mean, he's an impressive young man. I'm really proud of him, how his game has developed from the time I met him. I'm not surprised. If, you know, nobody would be surprised that he has become a voice of our locker room, a voice of our organization. He's in meetings with our owners and with Allison Feaster and with Dave Hoffman, you know, organizing the plans for social justice. So he is special. And I knew that from the first time I met him. And I'm not surprised, but I'm also not surprised with the progress that he's made as a player and how good a player he's becoming right before our eyes. And I think he's ready to take on bigger roles and bigger opportunities. And I couldn't be happier to have him on the Boston Celtics and be with him at this time of his career.
Chris Gasper.
Hey, Danny, how are you?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Good, thank you. I think chemistry can certainly enhance a team. I think we saw that from Miami, can enhance a collection of talent. And also can maybe diminish or detract from a collection of talent. In your opinion, with your team on and off the court, does chemistry enhance what you guys have put together on paper, or does it not enhance what you guys have put together on paper based on this season?
So I would say that the entire year, I heard nothing from our players or our coaches through game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd never heard anything but how positive a culture it was and how what a great team we had. And it was such a joy to be around. What a joy it is to watch this team play. I felt the same way. I really liked being around the team. I liked watching our team compete. I liked all the guys that I was communicating with. And then we had an incident that happened in the Eastern Conference Finals that put some of that in question of all of the games the entire year, including two playoff round wins, into question. I would just say, you know, I personally have been around a long time, as you guys can tell. And you know, I wouldn't overreact to those. I think our chemistry for sure was enhanced this year. Our team was enhanced by the great chemistry and great culture that was created here.
Keith Smith.
Hi, Danny. With four draft picks and an already kind of tight roster with a lot of guaranteed contracts, does that change how you approach the draft at all in terms of willingness to move those picks in trades or draft and stash and those kind of things?
Yeah, sure. You got to take all those things into consideration when you're drafting. I mean, typically you want to draft for the best player, not worry about positions, but you know, we've all heard that rhetoric before, and that's true. But there are times when you need to draft for specific needs. And especially when you're drafting in the positions that we're drafting this year and with the draft that we have this year. So, but yeah, we'll take into consideration all of the above, all of the players on our roster and what our needs are, who the best players are, and players that can help us more immediately. And obviously we take a chance on a player that was a younger player that needed some development in the G League before he was ready to play for us. We have the luxury of doing that as well. So all of those things are considerations.
All right. Final question for Danny. We'll go Brian Robb.
Hey, Danny. Romeo Langford obviously got hurt at the end of the year there. Just an update on his timetable. Is he expected to be ready for next year? And just what, you know, you guys hope to see from him after, you know, kind of a snake bitten year for injuries for him?
Yeah. So, you know, when we drafted Romy and him coming into the year, we knew that he wouldn't have a summer league last summer, and he was getting surgery on his hand and thumb. And we knew there'd be a little bit of a delay, but it has been kind of a snake bitten year. He showed some really, really positive signs in NBA games at small doses, but in practice and in some G League games. And anyway, we think he has a very bright future. And what the timetable is, I mean, I'm not sure there's any benefit of me giving you a timetable, but I know that Romy's in a good place as far as committed to getting healthy and committed to, you know, having a dynamic year next year. And we'll just see how the off season goes. I mean, we don't even know when our season is starting yet. So we'll just, you know, do the best we can and get him back as quick as we can and as strong and well-conditioned and ready to play next year as he can.
That is everything Danny Ainge said. Up next, my thoughts on his comments about the trade deadline, about Kemba Walker, and more. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So Danny Ainge covered a lot. He spoke for something like 20 minutes or so. I think it was 17 minutes. So we covered a lot in that opportunity there. I think some of the biggest things that people are talking about are the trade deadline stuff, because I see a lot of people talking about, well, he should have done something at the trade deadline, which, okay, fair. You would hope that if you're looking at a team that needs help, that needs something, and they don't do anything. So the initial reaction is always like, well, why didn't you do something? And you hear people say, well, he values those first round picks so much. You know, it's possible that it's the opposite, that other teams don't want those particular picks in a weak draft. Why would you want, if you're trying to trade somebody away, does trading away a piece for the 14th pick do something for you? I don't know. Like, look at some of the deals that were made. And let me explain the value of why sometimes those 14th, 20th picks don't have the value that you'd think. Because they are guaranteed salaries. And if a team has a guy that they want to get rid of, pick a guy, pick whomever, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, one of those guys that got traded, and you say, well, the Sixers got him. What did the Sixers give up for Alec Burks second round pick, Nuggets 2021 second round pick, Raptors 2022 second round pick. Why all of these second round picks? I'll tell you why. Because there's no guaranteed salary there. And the Warriors, who traded away Burks and Robinson, maybe didn't want to take back guaranteed salary. You make three. You could say, well, the Celtics had three number one picks. They should have just thrown those at the Warriors. Those are better. Sure, they're better. There's maybe a better chance at getting a better player. However, in a draft like this, where after maybe the top two, three, four, whatever it is, there's a significant drop-off and there's kind of a crapshoot, I think the Warriors probably would like to take a crack at some of these guys in the second round. And if they flame out, so what? You cut them. But you can't cut a 14th pick. You can't cut the 20th pick or the 26th pick, whatever the hell the Celtics have now. You can't cut those guys because they become guaranteed salary on your contract, on your salary cap. And if the team doesn't want that, then sometimes that's just not quite as valuable. There's value at the top of the draft, and there's value at the high end of the second round. But in that middle to bottom of the first round, sometimes there just isn't that much value. So the Celtics can say, hey, I'll give you three picks for Alec Burks. And maybe the Golden State Warriors would do that because it's a stupid thing to do to give three first-round picks wherever they are for Alec Burks, which is another element to all of this. But if a team doesn't want to be married to those picks, they may rather have a higher or anywhere in the second-round pick, because if they think the difference in talent is not going to be that great, they certainly aren't going to want to marry themselves to what ends up being, if let's say they took all three, is like $6 million in salary. Now it's the Warriors, and maybe that's not the best example, but still, you still have to have your salary, you know, sheet make some kind of sense. And the Warriors can pay whatever tax or whatever, but they're trying to do something. And if that doesn't fit their plans, it doesn't fit their plans. But you can go up and down the list. Who are the Celtics going to trade? Who are they going to get? D'Angelo Russell got traded. They're not getting him. Andre Drummond got traded. They sure as hell aren't getting him. And anybody that wants Andre Drummond, stop, unsubscribe from the podcast, get out of here. Because that, no. There's one person in the world that is caping for Andre Drummond. It's that dude that writes for like Newsday in New York who voted him for Defensive Player of the Year. One of the most insane things I've seen in my life. Marcus Morris, no. The Clippers gave up first round picks for that. I'm just going down the list. They were never going to get Andre Iguodala. Dwayne Dedman made too much money. You can say, hey, maybe they should have gotten a big. Dwayne Dedman made too much money. You couldn't match that salary. There are a lot of names out there that got traded that the Celtics couldn't have traded for. Or maybe didn't think we're going to help. I go back to Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson. Were those going to be difference makers? They sure as hell didn't help the Sixers. They're going to be difference makers for the Celtics? I don't think those guys make a huge difference. I don't think Alec Burks coming off the Celtics bench is a huge difference maker. So, sure, you can say Danny Ainge should have done something. And on the buyout market, they were probably sitting there waiting for Tristan Thompson to get bought out. And when he didn't get bought out, you're like, well, there goes that. I thought it was an interesting point that Danny Ainge made about if you knew you had a training camp, because I wonder who he might have gotten. It almost seemed like he veered. It was like, hey, if we had a training camp, we could have gotten, and it almost felt like you know what, never mind, probably would have made the same decision. I don't know who he might have said at that point. I have no clue. Could it be a young guy? Could they have gone for like Scal Abissier? I don't know. I really don't know who they would have gone for. But I understand the need. You want to help the Celtics bench. You want to help it out. You want to add some depth. But I'm looking at all the names out there, and I don't see a ton. he might have been able to do something, and who knows, you add one guy to the mix. I didn't think Jay Crowder was going to be a big help to Miami, and he turned out to be, like, up until the finals, a piece that snapped everything together. So I don't think that Danny didn't try. I think he definitely tried. So I don't think that there was a lot out there. Considering the way the Celtics roster is made up, who are you going to trade away plus those picks? I don't think that he could have done much. Second thing I want to react to, Kemba Walker, who is clearly not 100%. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to say how much he was hurting. I think that it's okay to be honest right now. And Kemba falls into the Gordon Hayward bucket of, well, a fraction of Kemba, a fraction of Gordon is still better than 100% of Brad Wanamaker or 100% of Semi Ojeleye. And you look at the grand scheme of things, Gordon tried to come back too soon. Kemba was clearly not 100%. Everybody is saying that he was not 100% without basically, you know, admitting that he, you know, without saying it explicitly. So, I mean, shout out to Kemba for gutting through it. I want to know the severity of it. Danny says no need for surgery that he's aware of at this time, which doesn't necessarily mean no surgery, but he and Kemba, when Kemba was asked about it before, he was like, no. When before the, I think it was around the Raptors series or maybe before the Sixers series. I forget exactly. It all blends together. But so it doesn't seem like surgery would be necessary. He's had three procedures on that knee and a fourth, if you want to count the draining, which I don't really count. That's just stick a needle in there and pull some stuff out of there, which is gross, but that's not necessarily a surgical procedure. It's just, you know, draining. I say that so casually. Yeah, you just drain stuff out of the knee. but I thought that the Kemba Walker stuff was interesting. I don't know that there's much more else. Oh, wait, no, I've got one more thing to react to. And it's that Danny Ainge really seems miffed, pissed, flummoxed by the fact that they lost to Miami. If you remember, go back and listen to it again, the parts where he's talking about we weren't good enough. But like it was always, we weren't good enough at this time. He's like, well, we got beat. I think we have a chance. You know, he's saying if we play them again, we could beat them. It's like he really thinks that the Celtics blew a chance losing to Miami. And even with Kemba slightly hurt and even with Kemba, Gordon coming back early, it feels like he thinks that the Celtics still could have beaten Miami. And they probably still could have, because it wasn't until they collapsed in the fourth quarters, got outscored by 20 on two separate occasions, that they lost. They lost two of those games by being outscored by 20 in runs. But, I mean, we can relitigate that. Yeah, Marcus Smart should have shot better shots or focused on facilitating more. But, you know, when Marcus Smart sees the offense struggling, he's got that confidence that he can do it himself, and he's going to try doing it himself sometimes. And a lot of guys try doing it themselves, and that's the problem with this team, that too many guys think that they could do it themselves sometimes in the crunch. And I think one thing that can help the Celtics next year is if Tatum takes another step forward, and it's very obviously Tatum that should be getting it, and there's a very obvious Jaylen Brown should be the guy behind him. You know, and the Celtics might want to start running some Jason and Jaylen pick and rolls in those situations. I mean, that's something that I'm just looking forward. If you can space out the floor, if Smart is enough of a threat and Kemba can catch and shoot, and whoever the fifth guy on the floor is, if it's Hayward or if it's whomever, can space out. Why not try running Jalen and Jason pick and rolls in clutch situations? Who do you guard? Who do you cover? Two versatile guys, almost the same size. One's a good catch and shoot guy, but can also drive to the rim. Another guy can create with a little bit of space. That could be the future of Celtics crunch time. But that's another podcast. But I really do think it was pretty obvious that Danny Ainge is still stinging from this loss. Really still stinging from the loss to Miami. I'm going to leave it right there. Thanks for listening all week long. Back next week with a full week of podcasts, including, I believe, we're working on a crossover with Locked On Red Sox, because there are podcasts that cover all of Boston sports on the network. I think it'll be fun to cross over to another sport. It's going to be, I think those podcasts can be fun. Talking about sports in Boston, not necessarily just the Celtics, but a little bit more, expanding a little bit, a little fun in the offseason. So please subscribe if you have not. If you have, please give a 5-star rating and a good written review. A lot of you have done that already, and I really appreciate that. And if you can, please share the podcast. I will love you forever. Tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.